The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brothers.
Kill the freaking recording, because that may or may not be contributing to our problem.
I don't know. I tell you, they've been farting around on the wires out there, and who the hell knows?
Hopefully, it's got to be something like that, man, because I can't drop the freaking bitrate any lower than this. Who the hell knows?
Ah, there's me talking, so that's good. That's always a positive. All right.
We'll see how it goes.
See what happens. Goes. We've been... For all those who been watching, we've been having issues with our internet in the area. They are tearing the wires and everything off the poles and everything outside, so it's been choppy at best. But hopefully we don't lose you. We're going to go as far as we can, and we apologize for the inconvenience. But anyway, hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
Worshipful Brother Joe.
And Worshipful Brother Ken.
Today we're going to take another stab at Freemasonry and Rosicrucianism. So, but before we do that, let's go through what we usually do. The usual, typical housekeeping. Mm-hmm. Joey, go.
All right, here we go. We'll start with the top. Matt Hartley, Grim Tidings. Bet that's not his real name. Hmm. Kenneth Starr. What's up, Ken Starr? Tyler Crossley.
Wait. You mean like the prosecution for OJ case?
Just like that, only different.
Right.
There's actually a friend of mine from my town.
All right.
Tyler Crossley, Rob Rudzant, Zachary Taylor, not to be confused with Zachary Taylor Thomas, Mike Cattermole, Michael T. Davis, Seth Curtis, Ishmael Talib Bubakar,
right.
Adam P. Huss, Josh McCray, John Doyle, M.J. Baker, David Nieves Roman, Alan Smith Jr., Hassan Holloway, Kalen Swanson.
Over on Instagram, new followers, Paranormality Magazine.
Oh.
Cool. I'll have to look that up. I'm not sure what that
Ghost
is.
Ghost stories.
Yeah. Mike Margetz, Josh Che Padraig McCray, Leandro, Francisco Jr., Uga Wabaju.
Uga Booga?
Wabajo?
You got it, Kenny. Joe. Sound it out.
Ugwuabujo,
Maxwell Bright, Tyrick Obadiah Smith. Thank you, brothers and friends.
YouTube, Stephen Morgan, Adam Huss, and somebody who says a cult talking about another cult when we did our Scientology one. So
a cult talking about another cult.
Whatever.
Mind your business.
Fucking trolls.
Mind your business.
What's Kenny? Number one? Yes, sir.
You're late to the party.
Yes, sir.
Toast them.
All right. Brethren, right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready.
Ready. Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire good fire. Fire all. Together, brothers.
Vivat. Vivat. Vivat.
Beautiful. I almost dropped the cannon down upon my mouse here. And
oh.
Not exactly sure what I did. Everything looks good, though. So
Kenny's having a rough day today, so he's going hard with the bullet over there.
No, not hard. You said hard. Sipping.
We'll fill you in later about the whole whistling thing, Ken.
Yeah, you're going to have to, because I have no idea what's going on.
I sent Joe a video that was...
not suitable for work.
Basically, a guy...
NSFW?
Basically, a guy walking down the stairs...
Just got out of the shower.
Just got out of the shower. You hear the knock on the door.
He slips
comes
and falls.
Down the stairs, slips and falls, and the flute falls off the...
Oh!
It's a recorder. It's a recorder.
Yeah. I think you guys were playing that video last time, but I didn't actually see it. Yeah. Okay.
So now, when the recorder lands...
story from yesterday?
It lands, and it goes... We're going to leave it at that.
What story from yesterday? When I requested that video from you.
Oh, yeah. So, yes. I went to... My aunt passed away... around January, but yesterday we were doing the memorial service, and I'm with all my cousins. I'm in the church, and you know the priest is up there, Namare Patri, Filii, Spiritu Santo. You're doing the whole fucking deal, right?
Look at you speaking Latin.
And all of a sudden, I hear in my pocket. I look down; it's Joe, and he says, "Hey, can I have that video of that dude with the flute in his ass?"
And here you are trying to be a child of God.
Yes. And then he turned into a child and he burst out hysterically laughing.
I started hysterically laughing.
At
like,
a memorial service.
Oh, if there's ever a chance that me and Joe are going to get struck by lightning in the same moment in time, that was the day.
That does seem to be going on a lot. You know, we had a lot of people, unfortunately, that passed away during the time of COVID. And there does seem to be, you know, now that things are kind of opening up a little bit, a lot of memorial services and celebrations of life happening kind of after the fact. We have one for a brother actually coming up soon too.
Right.
It's weird. It's a weird time to be alive, man.
Yeah. It was pretty funny yesterday though. But anyway.
I mean, yeah, it's funny as a funeral can be, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, she died of COVID, so I mean.
Oh my God.
Hats off.
Sorry.
My poor aunt. Anyway. Let's get into it. Rosicrucianism and Freemasonry. Mm-hmm. Many believe that Freemasonry derives from Rosicrucianism. It is wrong. Well, first we're going to break down what Rosicrucianism is and how it compares to Freemasonry. So, again, I'm taking this off of the website that never lies. Wikipedia.
Hey, George?
Yeah.
What's Rosicrucianism?
I don't know. We're going to find out.
That was like your setup to just say, oh, let me tell you.
I dropped the ball.
We're really not good at broadcasting, are we?
Yeah. James Levaney says, a little choppy. Yeah, we've been having issues with it. We actually turned down the bit rates for the recording because, unfortunately, we have internet issues going on outside. But I know they're farting around with the wires. But Rosicrucianism is a spiritual and cultural movement that arose in Europe in the early 17th century after a publication of several texts that purported to announce the existence of a hitherto unknown esoteric order to the world and made seeking its knowledge attractive to many. The mysterious doctrine of the order is built on esoteric truths of the ancient past, which conceal from the average man, provide insight into nature and the physical universe and the spiritual realm. The manifestos do not elaborate extensively on the matter, but clearly combine references to Kabbalah, Hermeticism, alchemy, Christian mysticism. So basically what they did is they just kind of put them all into a religious esoteric shit sandwich and combined it all.
The mystery school shit
mystery
sandwich.
Mystery school shit sandwich is what we're going to go with. The Rosicrucian manifestos heralded a universal reformation of mankind through a science allegedly kept secrets for decades until the intellectual climate may receive it. I'm down with that.
Okay. Makes
sense. Understand back in these times, everything was controlled by the Catholic Church. Right. So a lot of things were kept quiet, including the world being round. Sorry, flat earthers. I hate to tell you that. Because the Catholic Church believed that the world was flat, remember?
Right. They also believed the earth was the center of the universe.
That as well. So these other scientists like, was it Sir Isaac Newton, Bruno? What's
Copernicus.
The guy that got burned at stake, Bruno something.
Galileo.
Right.
Galileo
Figaro.
Magnifico.
Thanks for picking up on that, Ken.
Oh, my God. Somebody had to.
I got the reference.
And Warner Brothers has muted you.
Yes, yes, they have.
Again.
No, but what was the guy? Bruno was burned at the stake. He was a...
Oh, I can't remember his
name. You know what I'm talking
about. I know who you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. He was burned at the stake because he basically...
He's part of the Royal Society, I believe, as
went
well.
Against the Catholic Church's belief that the Earth was the center of the universe, and he tried talking about the galaxy, and they cooked his ass.
It's one way to shut him up.
Something like that.
I don't know. I'm not looking up that. I'm looking up this right now. Don't mock me, Kenny.
I'm not mocking you. I'm just. I would help you out if I could remember.
Controversies arose. I'm sorry.
I would help you out if I could remember the names, but I.
Yeah, I can't remember his name. I know it was Bruno something.
Anyway, Mars.
If you're watching live, like, subscribe, click the little bell, and help us out here. Again. Perfect example of why Masons don't control everything, because I don't know everything.
We can't even control our own friggin' Wi-Fi feed.
Yeah, I can't. Although I did jack the bitrate down to about 900 kbps.
I knew I could count on you.
Which is not great, but you know what? I did it during the stream, and now we're green.
Awesome.
Right. So you're great.
Which is not good. It does mean that they're screwing something up outside.
Yep.
I hope they fix it.
I hope so.
You can't stop the signal, Ken. The signal is everywhere.
Everything goes somewhere.
You children ready?
Yes. Yeah.
Controversies arose on whether they were a hoax, whether the Order of the Rosy Cross existed as described in the manifestos, and whether the whole thing was a metaphor disguising a movement that really existed, but in a different form. In 1616, Johann Valentin André famously designated it as Ludibrium? Ludibrium? Come on, Joe, help me out. Right there, blue word, highlighted.
Blue word, highlighted. There's a bunch of them.
Ludibrium. Ludibrium, thank you.
You're welcome.
Some scholars of esotericism suggest that the statement was later made by André in order to shield himself from the wrath of the religious and political institutions of the day, which were intolerant of free speech and the idea of a universal reformation in which the manifestos called for. Let's see here. Let's get into. Let's scroll down. You guys can look this up if you want. Let's get into. What do you guys want to hear? You want to hear the origins? Or you want to hear the Enlightenment, Rosicrucian Enlightenment?
Talk about the origins first.
Origins. All right. Roger that.
If you could see if there's any correlation between their origins and that of Freemasonry.
You bastard! You set me up. You know there's a bunch of Latin in this freaking one, aren't you? You're watching.
I had no idea.
I'll do my best Latin. Here
I
we
can't
go.
Help you there, man. I didn't study Latin.
You know what, Devaney? Eat shit.
Just say
Don Phonics didn't work for George.
Just say it with
emphasis, right?
Yeah. Confidence.
Confidence. Yeah. There we go.
Old Master 357 says it's not the feed that's choppy, it's George's reading skills.
I know.
Oh, Daniel Valdez.
And who is Old Master?
Giordano.
Oh, that's
Bruno.
Me.
Giordano Bruno. Was that
Giordano
the one you were
Bruno.
For?
Yeah, that's the name I was looking for.
Thank you, Daniel Valdez.
Not Mars, as I had thought.
No.
Origins, between 1614 and 1617, which predates Freemasonry, three anonymous manifestos were published, first in Germany and later throughout Europe. These were the Fama Fraternitatis, R.C., the Fame of the Brotherhood of R.C., 1614, the Confessio Fraternitatis.
I love this part. This is my favorite part.
This is my favorite part.
The Confession of the Brotherhood
so
of R.C. R.C., of course, meaning Rosicrucians.
Rosicrucianism.
And the Shemenical Wedding of Christian Rosicrucianus, 1459. Anyway, the Fama Fraternitatis presents the legend of a German doctor and mystic philosopher referred to as the Father Brother, or CRC. I have no idea what any of this means. But the year 1378 is presented as being the birth year of our Christian father. 1378. Okay. That's a rando, right? It's a rando 1378. It's not really. I went out in 1378.
Yeah, I mean, that's one period of history that I really don't know too much about.
It was after the Templars.
It was definitely after, the Crusades.
After the Templars, kind of, I don't know. It's floating in that area of where...
The Dark Ages.
No, Dark Ages were before that. They were from, 800 to, 950 or something like that. Dark Ages was prior to that.
Okay.
1378. I really
it's kind of a
know.
Dark period before the Reformation and before the Enlightenment.
True. Fair point.
1378. Yeah. I don't
anyway,
know. I'll look it up.
After studying in the Middle East under various masters, possibly adhering to Sufism.
Sufism? Really?
He was unable to spread the knowledge he had acquired to prominent European scientists and philosophers. Again, as we said, the Muslims and their religion were the first to actually kind of get onto the whole scientist stars and all that stuff well before the Christian religion did.
One of the first of the ancient cultures to get into that.
Correct. So it would make sense that he went there, studied it in the Middle East, and then brought it, tried to bring it back. And, of course, the church...
You're a heathen!
Yeah, bad time to be doing that.
Yeah. Instead, he gathered a small circle of friends, disciples, and founded the Rosicrucian Order. This can be deduced to have occurred around 1407. All right. During that guy's Rosencruz, he named it after his fucking self.
Rosencruz.
Just know. Now, look it. See?
No, I know.
Rosencruz.
I know, you're right.
I mean, you got to be one vain son of a bitch, name an order after yourself.
Or maybe he was named after the
order. Oh, then again, there is an order that we're kind of starting to make, and it's called Josephicism.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Two rules.
Vain bastard.
Two rules. Only two rules. Very easy to follow.
All right. The order is said to comprise no more than 8 members, each a doctor and a sworn bachelor.
What? A doctor and a sworn bachelor.
Doctor.
That's interesting.
Each member undertook an oath to heal the sick without accepting payment. That's freaking lost.
No, I mean, there's plenty of groups that do that in modern day. You've got like Doctors Without Borders and stuff like that. I think they're probably paid somehow.
Just but not like when I go for the stuff. Doctor for having like I don't know, a sinus infection.
Well, you have insurance. It's a different kind of paradigm.
Or the thrombose hemorrhoid that you were talking about.
Thrombose robbery. Anyway. yeah, I know. I got you. Fucking all right, Joe. This is how we're gonna do it? All right.
But at any rate,
each member undertook an oath to heal the sick without accepting payment, to maintain a secret fellowship, and to find a replacement for himself before he died.
That's noble, I think.
Yeah.
I'll go with it.
On paper.
Three such generations had supposedly passed between 1500 and 1600, a time when scientific, philosophical, and religious freedom had grown so that the public might benefit from the Rosicrucians' knowledge, so that they were now seeking good men.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Ding, 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 ding. There.
Good men who are willing to give of themselves without expecting anything in return. All right.
And if only we can make them better. If only we can take good men and make them better.
If only we could.
Rosicrucian Enlightenment. Let's get into this one. In early 17th century, the manifestos caused excitement throughout Europe by declaring the existence of a secret brotherhood of alchemists. Okay. And sages who were prepared to transform. And this is the 17th century now. Preparing to transform the arts and sciences, religious, political, and intellectual landscapes of Europe. Wars of politics and religion ravaged the continent. The works were then reissued several times, followed by numerous pamphlets.
Pamphlets. God help us.
He looked right at me. Favorable or otherwise, between 1614 and 1620, about 400 manuscripts and books were published which discussed the Rosicrucian documents. The peak of the Rosicrucian fervor was reached when two mysterious posters appeared on the walls in Paris in 1622 within a few days of each other. The first said, "We, the deputies of the Higher College of the Rose Croix, do make our stay visibly and invisibly in this city." The second ended with the words, "The thoughts attached to the real desire of the seeker will lead us to him and him to us."
That's deep.
That's fucking pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Can you say that
one more time? Say that again.
So the first one said, "We, the deputies of the Higher College of the Rose Croix, do make our stay visibly and invisibly in this city."
Okay.
And then the second one said, "The thoughts attached to the real desire of the seeker will lead us to him and him to us."
Oh.
So that sounds like a really complicated way to, like, go have a physical. Right, because it's like you're staring at that. So it's like, what year is this? It's like late 1700s.
Right? 1622.
Oh, 1622. Okay, yeah. So I'm a random serf in London in 1622, and I'm staring at this thing on the wall, and I'm like, man, I just want to get my tonsils out.
Yeah.
Like, what do I do?
So,
well, there's a good chance you probably wouldn't have even been able to read it as some random serf. So by putting up the posters,
1622.
You're almost recruiting a higher caliber of man, of one that could actually read.
Oh, that was a recruiting poster. Well, I thought that was like to get patients for their...
Well, but it's if you're getting that message out with the whole,
basically,
cause him to seek us and us to seek him kind of thing.
We're here in the city.
I got you, Joe Schultz. I got you.
Kind of sounds like, you need to come knock on our door. Come and knock on our
door. Joel Schultz says, George is reading that book like a champ. Is it a picture book?
No, it's just really big print.
Yeah.
There's a pronunciation guide.
So kind of what I'm gathering of this group is, well, that was definitely a cloaked in allegory recruitment pictures. That's what I picked up on that.
That's kind of what I'm kind of taking from.
So he's basically saying, the first one says, we the deputies of the Higher College of the Rose Choir do make our stay visibly and invisibly in the city. In other words, we're here.
We're here and we're among right here. You may see us, you may not.
Right. Yep. And then the second one says, the thoughts attached to the real desire of the seeker. So if somebody reads this thing and they're like, oh, I want to join, they're going to seek out the Rose Choir.
Right.
Are the Rosicrucians, and the Rosicrucians in turn will seek out them.
And we're so,
which
know
means to me
worthy.
That while they had these posters up, there was probably somebody watching to see who's reading them.
Hey, well, and there's these point. Some are visible and some are invisible.
Right. There was probably somebody scouting, saying, "Oh, that guy just stopped. That guy just stopped," and they're marking down, or maybe they pass by him or doing some real
ask a weird question or something
secretive shit. Like, hey, what did you think about that poster, man? That was pretty weird. Oh, I love it. I would love to meet him. Bam, there you go.
Yeah, and I think by having something that you had to read and think through, you're already attracting weeding out some perhaps undesirables and attracting a higher status gentleman.
Mm.
Not unlike Freemasonry.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Freemasonry should do that shit.
Sounds a little like to be one, ask one.
Yeah,
like
similar.
Cause the seeker to find us.
That's clever. I like that.
I like it.
Let's see here. I'm going to fast forward a little bit more here because, again, you guys can
go
back.
Are there symbols on the poster? Somebody had asked if there were any symbols.
So I don't know. It doesn't say that they have them, but there's. If you go on Wikipedia, you can see there are some definitely publications. They show you the Rose Cross. And they show you a 17th century depiction of the Rosicrucian concept of the Tree of Pansophia, which eerily looks to me like Kabbalah.
Oh, it looks exactly like the Tree of Life from Kabbalah. Not exactly, but very
reminiscent. Damn close.
Very reminiscent of.
Right. So we're going to fast forward here. I'm gonna move up to the Rose Cross degrees in Freemasonry. According to Jean-Pierre Bayard.
The guy downstairs?
Yeah.
Jean-Pierre?
What is it with you and the drunk guy downstairs?
He fascinates me.
Oh, my God.
He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy. He walks down the street munching his freaking cheeseburger, food falling out of his face as he walks by.
Man, he's hungry.
I'm trying to freaking get to my car. I got my OC spray in my hand, and Joe's like, hey, how you doing?
He's a nice man.
The guy eats his food while taking a bus to take a train to get to work every day.
Yeah.
Then how does he get so smashed in the process?
That's what he does with a paycheck. Far be it for me to tell a man how to spend his own money.
It's not our business.
Rule number two.
Were you here the day, though? I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast. Were you here the day we were all outside? That meeting? When the drunk guy comes across the street and he had his hands in the air? Coming over to Perry, he's like, "Oh, I don't want any trouble."
No, we have a couple stories.
We collectively stuck our hands in our pocket.
Yeah, we have a story like that from Harmony as well, but I'm not going to get into the specifics. Right. But yeah, it happens. You got a bunch of guys standing around,
you can't
in tuxedos,
that
and it's like somebody randomly.
But if, I'm sorry,
cost you.
I'm granted. I get the guy was inebriated. He was freaking drunk. Sorry, I know we're getting off topic here, but this is the shit I live for.
Apparently, it's important. To
it's important. It's important to me. Public service announcement. Okay.
Oh boy.
if you're going to walk up to somebody, all right, to go talk to them.
The opinions expressed on this podcast are those of George Mutry, not necessarily those of Kent Hardwood and Joe Zanino.
Or any grand lodge.
Well, I think you guys, I think you guys would agree with this. Don't be a guy who's drunk as shit. And I grant it, he was inebriated. But don't walk across the street heading in our general direction with your hands in the air and say, I don't want any trouble as you're walking to one of the Masons.
Yeah, that's generally not a good first impression.
Talk about somebody put on high alert.
Yeah.
We had somebody come up and say, I'm not trying to rob you. But like that was the opening. I'm like, okay, because it's kind of.
You just don't lead with that.
When you say that. Yeah, exactly.
I know. Maybe he's nervous and he wants just to like, declare his intentions.
How about good evening, gentlemen?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing?
I'm not trying to rob you.
Oh, I'll even take a sup at that point. Sup.
Yeah.
You know,
or,
something.
Or hello.
Hello. Hello.
Do you have a moment to talk about your...
Never mind. Yeah, That's fine, too. Just don't say you're not trying to rob me.
Yeah,
don't... I feel like it's reverse psychology at that point.
Just don't come up and say, I don't want any trouble. To me, that means you're coming to look for trouble, and you have your hands in the air, which is kind of weird. I don't know. Just saying.
Well, at least they're not hidden.
Yeah, if they go in the pockets, that would be a little bit
I think that's a good move. I think that's when you're walking up a crowd of hooligans... such as the members of Morningstar Lodge 47.
Bunch of guys in tuxedos.
Bunch of hooligans in
lodge smoking cigars. That doesn't seem like a bunch of hooligans to me.
Anyway, let's get back into this. We sidetracked there. Two rules of Crucian-inspired Masonic rites emerged toward the end of the 18th century. The rectified Scottish rite, widespread in Central Europe, where there was strong presence of the golden and rosy cross. In the ancient and accepted Scottish rite, first practiced in France, which the 18th degree is called Knight of the Rose Croix, which it still is.
Yes, it is.
And it is a fantastic degree. It is awesome.
I even have a nice little lapel pin from that illustrious brother Jack Farkas gave me from that. It's a nice little white cross with a little rose.
Gotta stop mentioning his name. He's gonna be like, "I heard you on the podcast. You know, you fuckers got a part in the next one, right?"
He'll find. Trust me, he'll find this regard.
He gave you a lapel pin. You kind of owe him.
I know.
I've done my share.
The change to from operative to speculative masonry occurred between the end of the 16th and the beginning of the 18th century. We know this. Two of the earliest speculative masons from whom a record of initiation exists were Sir Robert Moray and Elias Ashmole.
Oh, Elias Ashmole. There's actually a group called the Elias Ashmole Society. I think I mentioned this on
the
previous podcast.
Yeah, they're like a lodge research kind of thing, right?
It's an organization within a lodge, but I think Willis St. John's in West Hartford.
Is this a case where you can be an Ashmole?
Yes.
You can be an Ashmole.
They study, talks on esoteric Freemasonry and stuff, and you can engage them and have them come to your lodge and do, like, a Masonic education night on esotericism. It's neat.
Yeah, it is very, very cool.
So that's pretty much where it started into Freemasonry. It was somebody who, so I guess you could say that, you know, Rosicrucianism did blend into Freemasonry. I don't think Freemasonry derived from Rosicrucianism. My personal feelings on this, and then I'm going to go over to the Grand Lodge of the British Columbia in Yukon.
Oh, I love those guys.
That's
love
a great site.
Love this site.
Should have somebody from there on the show.
We most certainly should. I personally feel, and the way I feel about this is, everybody says, Freemasonry, this is where, how do I put this? Like, Freemasonry derived from the Rosicrucians. Freemasonry derived from the Knights Templar. Yeah. Freemasonry derived from, I don't believe any of that shit.
No.
What I actually think, it's the contrary. I think a lot of these orders, which were in deep shit by the Catholic Church, blended into Freemasonry because realistically, at the time, Freemasonry was not speculative when it first started off. It was operative. And who did the church need to build the frickin' churches and cathedrals?
Exactly.
So they couldn't just get rid of the stonemason guilds because, shit, they needed them, you know? I'm sorry, you're not going to see Father Cavitas out there freaking ting, 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 ting. You know, it's just not going to happen, you know? They hired stonemason guilds. Well, the ancient stonemasons were Freemasonry derived from. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of these orders, and again, I'm a
maybe big maybe took in some people that
took
were
took in some people to keep
being
them protected.
Oppressed or, yeah.
In well, which, if you're going to hit turn, your wagon to an organization that's strong and not going to go anywhere.
And international.
Yes.
That would be the one. Yeah.
That would be a good
And on top of that, you know, I'm sure the Stone Guilds at the time were all for it because, you know, these organizations had knowledge of things.
Yeah.
Or different thoughts about themselves. You follow? Yeah. You know, again, perfect example is the Cathedral of Notre Dame. Look at all of the esoteric shit in the side of that freaking cathedral.
Yeah. Right. And to keep those types of, like, an organization like that going, you need to have inroads into new territories.
Right. So right. I think.
So, yeah, right. It kind of makes sense.
Roslyn Chapel. Look at all the encoding in that building.
Yeah.
Yep. People, to this day, we don't know what the hell half of it means.
Mm-hmm.
But it was encoded for future generations to figure out. And I personally feel that that's what they were up to. They encoded a lot of shit in all those churches. And it was literally right underneath the Catholic Church's nose. And, of course, you know, the priest walks up and goes, oh, my God, that's beautiful. Yeah. That's so cool.
He reads his own symbolism into it.
But realistically, and that's where I think the original Secrets of Freemasonry is.
It could be. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I agree with you, though. I don't think Freemasonry as an organization was derived from any of these other outside organizations. Derived from operative Masonry. And there was influenced, I'm sure,
right.
The fall of the Templars and the fall of Rosicrucianism and the fall of these ancient mystery traditions. And
But I think that's where we get all of our
alchemists.
Right. I think that's where we get all of our mysticism and allegory and our symbolism. I think it all derives from different alchemists. Yeah, like you were saying.
It wouldn't surprise me because we're traditionally a very inclusive kind of organization.
Right.
So I would imagine that probably goes back to our ancient roots, and it wouldn't surprise me if some of these groups that were being oppressed or, you know, repressed in one way or another by the government or a religious organization of the time would, you know, seek
Daniel Valdez says Freemason FMP road trip to Scotland. Yeah,
I would love to do that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't get out of the pub.
Of course not.
I would visit every cathedral there.
No, but if you look at it, so in essence, Rosicrucianism is esoteric Christianity. To boil it down to something simple,
right?
And you've got the Kabbalah, which is esoteric Judaism, and you have Freemasonry, at least the esoteric side, that really gets into the ancient mysteries. So I think they're, like you said, Ken, I think they're all not necessarily influenced by each other, but hey, if you have a certain point of view and you find something similar, obviously there's strength in numbers.
Yep.
So let's get together and maybe your perspective or teachings of an ancient mystery might fill in the missing pieces to what mine might be leaving out.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe the ancient mysteries aren't so mysterious anymore.
Late 16 and early 1700s, there was a lot of that kind of stuff floating around.
Yeah.
And, absolutely. You could theoretically join a Masonic lodge with a lot, you know, less trouble than talking about what you know to your fellow, you know, folks in your congregation or something like that.
Right.
So it doesn't surprise me.
All right, let's get into the Freemasonry .bcy.ca, which was the Grand Lodge of British Columbia and Yukon on Rosicrucianism. And this little piece was done by Percy Jantz, February 4th, 2020.
I loved him in those movies.
Not 2002. Many people have sought a connection between Freemasonry and Rosicrucianism. Some claim incorrectly, and that was made very clear, incorrectly, that Freemasonry came from Rosicrucianism. There are enough similarities between them to make the history of Rosicrucianism of interest to Freemasons. The birth of the Rosicrucianism is almost universally attributed to Johann Valentin Andrea, a German monk. He was known for his charity and his attempts to promote the betterment of mankind through study and learning. Scholars believe it was he, in 1614, who published, you know, the things we were talking about, Fama Fraternitalis Rose Croix. In this book, Christian Rosenkreutz is born to a... So Rosenkreutz wasn't a real guy.
He was like their Hiram Abiff, kind of?
Yeah, because he says in this book... So he wrote... This guy, this German monk, Johann, wrote the book. I'm not going to sing it again.
Fraternitalis.
You know what it means.
Yeah. Abbreviate it.
He wrote this book, and in the book, Christian Rosenkreutz is born to a poor but good family. So it's, I guess it's a form of fiction?
Yeah.
Okay.
Religious fiction. Yep. Yeah.
At a young age, he joined the monastery, and at some stage, he is allowed to accompany an old monk on a pilgrimage to the Holy Sepulchre. The monk dies in Cyprus, and Christian goes on alone. In Damascus, he is amazed by the wonders of the city sages and the places himself under their direction. After 3 years of studying their hidden mysteries, he goes to Egypt to further study. Then, at the direction of his Arabian masters, he travels to Fez, where there is an annual meeting of the African and Arabian philosophers to compare notes on their studies and travels. After several more years, he goes to Spain, but getting a poor reception, he returns back to his native Germany. There, Rosenkreutz advocates for the Reformation and morals and science, but met with little sympathy, so he decided to start his own society. He gathered three companions from his old monastery, swore them to secrecy, passing all of his knowledge on to them, and is transcribed. They built a temple called the Temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay. They then increased their numbers to 8, and after all were fully instructed into the mysteries of science and nature, they agreed to separate. Two would stay with the father, Rosenkreutz. The others would travel to pursue learning, but would return every year to communicate the results to their study. Then they would depart again, this time with two different members of the order staying behind. The rules of the order, here we go, they were that they would devote themselves to nothing else than free practice of physic.
Free practice of physic, what does that mean?
P-H-Y-S-I-C. Or is that psych?
No. No, that would be P-S-Y.
It's physics. Maybe it's supposed to be physics.
Physics, I'm assuming.
Maybe it's a typo.
All right. That they were to wear no special clothing, but rather to adopt the customs of the land they were in. So they couldn't stand out. No Funkmaster Flash shit going on.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's kind of compelling, I think.
Right.
Because, I mean, he's a fictional... Well, yeah, he's a fictional character that moved from place to place, kind of the early Renaissance man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, taking from all these different cultural traditions, that would kind of make sense that the rules of the order are to blend in and kind of...
You know. Well, I mean, think about it. You know, you don't want this guy to just show up and be like, I'm here, bitches. Like, in his native...
Teach me your ways.
No. He's saying... No, what he's saying is they're supposed to go there and teach others, I guess, right?
Blend in, right? It's got to be a dialogue. It's
but
not.
If you don't blend in, you kind of stick out like a sore thumb, and you know the people in that native area.
So it's not like a traditional missionary kind of thing where you're going in and you're, you know, dropping knowledge bombs on people. It's a give and take. It's
most people would be like, get the fuck out.
Yeah, especially if you're dressed differently.
Go away. Let's see here. That each one was to present themselves at the Temple of the Holy Ghost in a particular day of the year, or send an excuse forth his for his absence. Excuse me, it's a blended word. So basically he had to go once a year to this Temple of the Holy Ghost on a particular day of the year, or send an excuse on why you couldn't be there.
Sounds like a summons almost.
Yep.
It's
almost like our Grand Lodge sessions.
That harkens to Freemasonry, to the, you know, if a master summons you or a grandmaster summons you,
get your ass there.
You're either there or you have a really damn good reason for him to excuse you.
Four, that each was to look for a brother to succeed him on his death. Five, that the letters RC were to be their seal, watchword, and title. Okay.
Harkens back to the Georgia Guidestones a little bit, huh? R.C. Christian?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Whoo.
Actually, it does. The name was Christian, though. Wasn't that the first name of the...
Christian Rosenkreutz.
Right. R.C. Christian. The person that...
But R.C. also...
I think you just made a breakthrough, Worshipful Brother Joe.
Get Walter on the phone.
Yeah, all right.
It usually only happens when I have Taco Bell, but...
Yeah, well...
All right. So if you haven't heard the Guidestones episode, go back. Holy shit, that just brought it all back around.
Good call.
That the Brotherhood was to be kept secret for 100 years. When 100 years old, Christian Rosenkreutz died. His burial place was known to only the two brothers that were with him at the time, and they took the secret to them with their grave.
Weird.
The society continued, always eight in number, for a further 120 years. There was a tradition in the Brotherhood that after 120 years, Father Rosenkrantz's grave was to be discovered, and the Brotherhood no longer kept a secret.
Hmm.
All right. The Temple of the Holy... You know where I'm going with this?
No.
Not yet.
Hiram.
Oh, yeah.
Similar.
Okay.
Different.
There's some similarities in the stories there. It's a central character who...
Right. Central character dies. They had to discover the grave.
Fictional martyr.
Yeah.
They had to discover the grave. Took some time for him to go back. Yeah. I'm picking up a little bit.
And then there's... God, I can't really say it on air, but there's a particular part of the tragedy where you said something about the grave being discovered at a later date, right?
120 years later.
Yeah, so that kind of reminds me of a particular part of the tragedy at the end where, you know, something's substituted until...
Right, until the time.
Until somebody finds something, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Right.
I'm definitely picking up on that
a little bit.
Yep.
The Temple of the Holy Ghost was being altered, and when a brass plate was removed from the wall, a door was revealed bearing the inscription, "After 120 years, I will be opened." Inside was a vault of seven sides. Inside the vault of seven sides.
Make a hell of a movie.
Seven
sides. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Get Dan Brown on the phone. Each 5 feet long.
I don't think he's taking our
feet.
Calls.
Yeah, he's a brother.
Really Raph.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
He's a brother?
Dan Brown's a brother. After he wrote the lost symbol, he took the degrees.
No way.
Swear to God. He's a brother. That. Yes, he is. Huh. Cool. Inside was a vault of seven sides, each 5 long and 8 feet high. The ceiling was arched and the room lit by an artificial sun at the center. While in the middle of the floor was an altar bearing the inscription, "When living, I made this compact copy of the universe my grave."
Ooh. What?
In the center were 4 figures with the words, 1, "By no means void," 2, "The yoke of the law," 3, "The liberty of the gospel," 4, "The unsullied glory of God." Oof.
Wow.
The 7 walls were each divided into 10 squares with figures and sentences to be explained to the initiates. They also each contained a door leading to closets, which contained all manners of wonders, from the history of the Brotherhood to encyclopedia, from the life of the founder to the curious mirrors and burning lamps of instructions on how to build up the order and how it would eventually fall into decay.
That's kind of cool.
It's freaking. I wonder if those instructions were similar in any way to the instructions given on the Georgia Guidestones.
Ah, how to rebuild society.
Exactly.
For example.
Hmm.
All just right. Curious. There might be some links there, man. I think you're right.
Boy, you're on point today.
Interesting, yeah.
I cleansed earlier.
Did you do the Murph this morning?
Again, Taco Bell. No, Murph is tomorrow.
Murph is tomorrow morning. Okay. Good luck.
I had
to
prep for it. Thank you.
That's going to be a rough one.
It will be a rough one.
Pushing aside the altar, they found the body of Rosenkrantz, freshly preserved with a volume under his arm. Freshly preserved? Ooh. How do you freshly preserve a body? Well, then again, they did the
It would
linen.
Be like 200 years old at that point, wouldn't it?
Might have been hermetically sealed.
Oh.
See what I did there? See what I did?
Oh, you are on point today. Look at you. Oh, holy crap.
Fucking show off.
Yeah.
With a volume under his arm. What volume? Like a book of law?
A book of sacred law, yeah.
This then was the story attributed to Andrea. It was intended to be a suggestion to the... This is like got some like Assassin's Creed shit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right?
Yeah.
That's probably where they got... Yeah. You know, they take things from history.
I'm sure they stole that.
Well, it says it right in the opening credits of the game that this is purely fictional, but have been taken from history.
So. Yeah. We stole it from the Freemasons and Rosicrucians.
Yeah. It was intended to be a suggestion that to the learned to promote philanthropy to better mankind through answering the questions posed. It was misunderstood then and has been since. Everywhere this his fable was accepted as fact. People searched for the Temple of the Holy Ghost. Letters appeared continuously addressed to the order seeking admission. None were answered. The Brotherhood was earnestly attacked and vigorously defended in books and pamphlets. But no one ever heard of this, never heard from the order itself. Eventually, some, having sought vainly for the Invisible Society, resolved to form their own, and hence there appeared by 1622 the alchemist group in The Hague called themselves the Rosicrucians. Okay.
Yeah, so fake society.
So basically...
Copycats.
Copycats. So that's kind of what we are now. Well, what not?
Kind of like the new Illuminati versus the Bavarian Illuminati.
Right. Yeah.
Somebody took the idea and bastardized it and called it their own and
started requesting vulture piss from people.
Exactly. Exactly.
I totally forgot about the vulture piss.
Yeah, my vulture piss is still in the mail.
But here's the thing to think about. And, you know, everything is allegory, and sometimes things don't always appear to be what they seem. Perhaps the Temple of the Holy Ghost is not a brick and mortar type construction, but one of bone and flesh.
One of the mind.
How about that? How you like them apples?
Here's my thing,
each person.
I'm going to take the other way.
Okay.
This was a freaking science fiction book. It was a goddamn Dan Brown book that somebody took and were like, there's got to be this real order. It was a fiction book.
More believable than
well Dianetics. Here's the thing, if back then if somebody takes something that's a fictional account and makes it real, then it's a real society.
It's
and
there's the Thetans.
Yeah, and there's precedent. I was gonna say I wasn't gonna go Scientology, but yeah, there's precedent for doing that, for like looking at something that's obviously fictional and making a philosophy around it.
Oh yeah! Oh, that's it's been done before. Throughout history. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. So that's kind of what I'm getting is that this was a book that, you know, this guy Johann wrote. People took it as it being a literal. There is a literal Rosicrucian group. So then, in around 1622, you see people making an actual literal Rosicrucian group, and that's what has prevailed through time.
There you go. That's how it works.
Or it was truth embedded in fiction so that it was hidden.
It was there the whole time, yeah.
Well, I mean, realistically, if you're going to hide your group,
that's the best way to do it.
Put it in plain sight.
Put another group in front of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, or say that, hey, this was all just a science fiction novel, guys.
Yeah.
Right. Even though it was
legit. Hey, man, this is just charity. We just do pancake breakfast, man.
Yeah, we're not taking over the world, baby. Worshiping Satan.
No wonder why people think of us the way that they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes we're a little hypocritical, aren't we?
Because of us.
Yeah. So anyway, let's see, where did I leave off? The doctrine soon found its way to Britain around 1625, and the publications began to appear. Common symbols resulted in scholars then and since trying to find a common origin between Rosicrucian and Freemasonry. But this is not so. The Rosicrucians were Theophysists, religious men whose doctrines were of spirits, the elements, and number of heavenly bodies and their influence of men. Freemasons were founded by builders whose symbols applied in architecture and were of Christian character.
Yeah, but go back, read what you said before the Freemasonry part, the sentence before that, please.
Yes, it says the Rosicrucians were say it again, Ken.
Theophysists,
religious men whose doctrines were of spirits, of the elements, of numbers, and heavenly bodies, and their influence on men.
Right. So, religious philosophers.
Religious philosophers.
But as you're saying that, study of numbers. I'm thinking like middle chamber lecture, where we talk about the seven liberal arts and sciences. Two of which have to do with numbers, and one that has to do with heavenly bodies.
Well, again, we also talked about how the Rosicrucians probably blended into Freemasonry in the future.
And
we picked up some of their
stuff. I'm just drawing some similarities, not saying originated from the other, but there's some...
Which also...
It's been that they picked a concept from here or there.
I just thought it was...
Somebody
yeah.
who, you know...
I just thought it was interesting that they're saying, well, they're different because this one does this and this one does that, where things that they said the first right. that Rosicrucians did.
Well, I mean, we're talking...
It's found its way into ritual, whether it was there before or after or whatever. It's there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. or whether it's in the middle chamber. Whether it was an homage or whether it was derived from it,
right?
Sometimes.
Well, here we go. Ready? In 1668 to 1743, Chevalier Michael Ramsay is credited with starting the higher degrees. His were designed to support the connection of the Crusades and the Templars, but Rosicrucian or Hermetic philosophy crept in. So there you go.
See, hermetically mm-hmm. sealed.
Mm-hmm. So, this also leads me to believe that there, at this time, wasn't a fellowcraft degree.
There might not have been.
And it was later added to add in all of the Rosicrucians right. and Hermeticism and all this later, so that their lessons were also taught in the degrees of Masonry.
Right, it's like an amalgamation of that. And that kind of gets to my point earlier where, you know, Freemasonry may not have its origins in these certain ancient mysteries, but mm-hmm. they're definitely kind of taking the best of each one and bringing it into their philosophy and say, hey, I think they got this right. Let's bring it in.
Yeah, I mean,
hey,
at
I think
the end
they
of
got
the
this
day.
Part. Ooh, like maybe the Rosicrucians brought in, you know, the science of computing numbers, and I'll leave it at that yeah. as far as, you know, getting into the middle chamber.
Well, there's
of it,
Kabbalah. There's all kinds of, yeah. like, numerology going back into the ancient
So it's like taking
but,
some of these yeah. concepts, we'll call them, just for to keep it simple, and, mm-hmm. hey, we like that concept. Let's bring that in. Hey, this makes sense and seems to answer this. Let's bring that in. Mm-hmm. And then you end up with, you know, when you talk about the seven liberal arts and sciences, there may be things that specifically
right.
were taken from those other fields of ancient mysteries.
Yep. And if we're going to be inclusive of all the ancient religions, then we might as well borrow aspects of each one of them.
We need to deep dive into this, boys, because I'm seeing more and more evidence that there wasn't a fellowcraft degree and it was added later. I would love to know what the original degrees were, 1717.
I've got to get back into guest of the show, Jamie Paul Lamb's, the Middle Chamber book that he wrote. Mm-hmm. I have to get back into that one and finish that one up, because I'm sure there's some... perhaps some answers, or at least maybe more questions
yeah.
from that.
We're going to have to be scholars, gentlemen.
An archaeologist to dig through the shit and find
out. Not our strong suit.
Right. So anyway, let's move on here. This is pretty much at the end, and then we're pretty much at the end of the show. So, but at 1758, there were over 50 degrees with titles like Hermetic Knight, Hermetic Rite, Philosophic Kabbalist, Rite of the Philanthes. But
it's
of
interesting
these,
Kabbalist.
Yeah. But of these are now laid aside, but the modern 28th degree in Scottish Rite, the Knight of the Sun, is the condensation of the Rosicrucian doctrines. Okay. So I don't know. Have I seen that one?
I don't
28th degree. There's your Rosicrucian.
But sometimes the 28th degree in southern jurisdiction might be called something different than the northern Masonic jurisdiction.
Fair point.
Let me just double. I'll fact check that while you're going.
The modern 18th degree of Scottish Rite, that of the Rose Croix, is not hermetic. And that is absolutely true. It is not hermetic. It's got nothing to do with Rosicrucianism. It was actually, we don't got to get deep into it, but it stems from the Christian doctrine alluding to the blood of Christ being shed on the cross. Bingo.
So it's...
That is 100%, 1,000% right there, you freaking haters and you trolls that say we're all freaking evil and we believe in Satan. It refers to the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Thank you. Good night.
28th degree, Northern Masonic jurisdiction, is the Knight of the Sun or Prince Adept.
So they're the same or different?
Same.
Same. Okay, good. So if you want to check that out, join Scottish Rite, 28th degree.
I might Let do us that. Know.
I think I've seen it, but God, I've seen it freaking moons ago. Probably like 2007 or 8, 9. But anyway.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. So. This leaves the origin of the word Rosicrucian. and the beliefs of the order, and that is convoluted enough to be left for another day.
So basically, because of the naming of that particular degree, that's what got everybody behind the whole Freemasonry was derived from Rosicrucianism thing.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what I'm gathering.
I should really join Scottish Rite.
You should.
You should.
I'll get there at some point.
A lot of good lessons in the Scottish Rite. But
oh, no doubt.
So what I'm picking up from this and the way I'm kind of going to wrap this all up, in my head anyway, and then I'll let you guys do your thing and give us your assessment. But my assessment of it is that this was a non-fiction book. Excuse me, I keep saying non-fiction. A fiction book. This was a book of fiction written by this Johann guy who wrote this whole...
This Johann guy.
He wrote this whole story about a guy named Christian Rosenkreutz. Who went through all these degrees and everything. It probably caught on like fucking fire, especially back in those days when everybody was all about the mysticism and the stuff that the church wasn't telling us.
Yep.
It caught on like fire. People read it, and they were looking to find out if there really was such an order, and which somebody came along, grabbed it,
just created
an order.
Yeah, and was like,
and
hey.
Now they picked up on the symbolism of the things that were taught in the book, and they absolutely used it toward it. And you have a now real Rosicrucian order in 1622 that's
based on the things
based
written in
that
on book.
That was originally written in that book. Yep. And what ended up happening was, I bet you at some point the Catholic Church tried putting a swift end to that,
washing it,
and they ended up blending into Freemasonry along with many other organizations that blended into Freemasonry. Freemasonry took them in open arms because, again, it was an order in itself,
a safe haven, right?
Safe haven, and again, if they're going to take the knowledge, you know, that's what Masons do. We're after knowledge all the time,
right? Yep, we'll let you in.
We'll let you in. Let us know what you have. And I believe that at this point there was no fellowcraft degree, and in later times, after the teachings, they created the fellowcraft degree, and your fellowcraft degree is where all of your stuff may be.
Might be.
All right, I'm leaving. See you guys later.
Okay, bye.
Joe, you're up.
No, I think there's definitely some influences or sharing of knowledge between the two. There's too many similarities to say that it's accidental.
Mm-hmm.
So there was definitely an exchange of ideas at the very least. So definitely some connections there. I don't feel that Freemasonry originated from Rosicrucianism, but, I think they're all after the same goal and objective. And, like I said, there was definitely an exchange of ideas there. That's what I got, Ken.
Totally agree. I don't think that's where our roots come from, but I think a lot of what makes Freemasonry came from the ancient mystery schools, came from the best of all of the ancient world's religions. I don't think we sprung out of any one place. And I know there's a lot of scholars that are doing a lot of hard work to try to, like, you know, find that golden thread back to one particular group, right? Whether it be the Templars or the Rosicrucians or whatever. I think we got a lot of what we are from the best from all of these ancient societies.
Yeah.
That's my belief.
And I believe that it was all suppressed by the Catholic Church, and they all kind of...
Here we go.
No. I'm not taking a shot at anything. I'm saying, but it was suppressed. This was suppressed organizations that had their own methodology and beliefs and allegories and stuff.
You got a bunch of folks getting together that... Right. Think along the same lines.
Yeah. And
usually the religious body has in power at the time.
So Freemasonry is like the buffet of ancient mysteries.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, that's where I was going with.
Which philosophy do you agree with?
Yeah.
Which religion do you agree
with? It's the hometown buffet of
you don't really care.
Mysteries.
Ken got his butthole all puckered up over there. I thought I was going to go deep in. And
no, I thought you were just going to...
Well, we were talking about the Catholic Church.
No, I mean, nobody can deny it. Like, I don't care. Like, in this particular period of time, the Catholic Church suppressed a lot of certain organizations. I mean, you had, I mean, yeah, the Inquisition wasn't a fake, like, no, it actually
no.
happened.
Right.
You
know, no, no, I agree.
It was
so
intense in the 1600s. No, I agree.
No, I know. Just the way you put, yeah, a little intense in the 1600s. I just love the way you put it. That's all.
Right. I'm trying to be as.
Things are a little intense.
No, but, you know, and I really believe that.
Of the Freemasons podcast.
Or any Grand Lodge jurisdiction. Blue Lodge or anything for that.
Ken's so fucking tender. He's like the. He's like our little. You're just a genuine nice guy. Like, you're just trying to, like.
I just don't want to get thrown into prison.
Just don't be an Ashmole.
Don't be an Ashmole. I personally believe that all these organizations, they talked. Yeah, I think there was a lot of cross-pollination, if you will, between...
Over the top.
You could be saying you just were under an arch of steel.
Yeah, no, it's...
Yeah,
could do.
I don't think I would. I don't think I would say that.
Anyway, I'm glad our Wi-Fi didn't shit the bed, because this was a good one.
Yeah, it was fun.
I definitely want to deep dive into find out if the Fellow Craft degree, when it came about.
Well, yeah,
I think this is
going to
be my new
study.
Podcast life mission right here. I want to study this.
We could always see if Jamie Paul Lamb will come back on and talk about his research on the Fellow Craft degree.
I mean, most certainly.
Or the brothers from the Elias Ashmole Society. Yeah, talk to those guys too. I know a couple of them, and see if they're willing to come on and.
That would
they're
be
still
a great
doing.
Thing.
Yeah,
you think they would get our humor though? Be like, look at these bunch of mash moles.
Oh, we
like,
would. I would brief them ahead of time.
All right.
No.
What do you say, brothers?
Yeah, I mean, we're at a.
I think we're done.
Over an hour.
Yeah. We're just gonna get stupid now. So,
charge your cannons if they're not charged. I'd like to propose one last toast.
Cannon George, charged.
George is using the bottle to prop up.
It doesn't have to be a large one, but just something to. One last toast.
Being a little freaking something. Bottle hoard over here. Oh, that's not going to hold it. I wonder if that's what Ken sounds like. Not like the whistle. Ken's goes... All right,
brothers. I just want to give a toast out to all the men and women that gave the ultimate sacrifice.
Absolutely.
So that we could have this long weekend, as somebody put it.
Here, here.
Thank you to them and their families. And again, just remember why you are able to enjoy this weekend and celebrate with family and friends. So, brothers, right hand to arms.
To arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire, good fire, fire all. Together, brothers.
Vivat, vivat, vivat. Thank you all for your service.
Thank you. I can't even say thank you to the service because Memorial Day is not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a 3-day weekend. It's supposed to be like Happy Memorial Day. You're like, you're honoring the fallen. That's what Memorial Day is. Veterans Day, you can do that. But that was awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you for the good up.
You're very welcome. Appreciate that, Joe.
Let's close it up.
All right.
For the Freemasons Podcast, I am Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry signing off.
Worshipful Brother Joe signing off.
And Worshipful Brother Ken signing off.
Have a good night, everyone.
God bless.